today's message, we want to put a special resource in your hands to help you make God's Word part of your daily routine this year. The 1-Year Chronological Bible is designed to help you read through the entire Bible in less than 15 minutes a day. We'll send you the 1-Year Chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for your help reaching more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Mount Calvary.
We've been climbing mountains. Today we ascend our last mount, our last peak. Listen. Luke 23:33 following, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right, the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at Jesus, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was also an inscription above him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who was hanging there was hurling abuse at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, If you do not, do you not even fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. If you're able, would you kneel with me? You may not can. Father, we come to Calvary. Mount Calvary, we call it. But Lord, we come open, hungry. Many of us are broken. A lot of us are confused. And Lord, I pray that in this quiet place that you will speak. Let me get out of the way so that thy words alone might be heard. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Look on the screen if you would. That's in Galatia National Park in Montana. It's called the Triple Divide Peak. A drop of water can fall just a centimeter apart in distance. Think about it. One drop ends up in the Atlantic, one drop in the Arctic, and one drop in the Pacific. Just think about that. a mountain peak there in Montana, a drop of rain falls and one ends on one side of the continent, another side of the continent, and yet another side of the continent. Just a centimeter difference. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. So we make a decision. Just little decisions. And as we go to Mount Calvary, we'll see that triple peak up there. And we'll see decisions and choices that were made that determine the destiny of individuals in all eternity. We've climbed these 8 mountains. We stayed on Sinai for 3 weeks. Moses was up there 40 days. He beat us by a few days. And now we come to the highest peak, the highest mountain of all, in all the world, in all the Bible, higher than any other mountain. But yet, Calvary is not a mountain. Literal Calvary in the Holy Land is not even a hill. There are 2 locations, historical one, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Many people think that that's where Jesus was crucified. That was Calvary. That was the place of the skull. But it's only about 16 or 17 feet higher than the normal terrain. So that's not even a molehill. That's not a hill. And you go to Gordon's Calvary. You can go on the Mount of the Rock. And you can look down there and see Gordon's Calvary. And you do see a skull in the cliff there, that a skull like faith in the cave, but there's a bus station. The last time I was there, I've been told it's been torn down, and that's Gordon's Calvary outside the wall, and there's a debate about where Jesus was crucified. Others think he was crucified on the top of that mountain there, where now is a Muslim cemetery. We're not for sure. But one thing for sure, nowhere in the Bible do you find Calvary or Golgotha on a hill or on a mountain. It's not there. Now, where do we get that? On the old rugged cross, on a hill far away, on Mount Calvary. We hear that name. We talk about the crucifixion is up on top of a hill or a mountain, and it's not. But yet, it's the highest point in the world, in all of history. Not geographically, topography, you'd look at it and it's just sort of a flat place, and maybe that's as it should be, because a lot of these mountains we've traversed, everybody couldn't get up there, but at Calvary, where it was, either location, it's flat. Now, there is one place in the Bible that says in the distance you could see the cross. But primarily, it's not a mountain, but except it is a mountain spiritually. And when we go to Mount Calvary today, we're going to discover that there are 3 men on 3 crosses, and all 3 are dying. So Mount Calvary is about death. And we look and discover it is the cross that is used as a symbol for Christianity. Why the cross? Looks like, you know, those Christians could have picked out something better than that, doesn't it? Maybe a towel, maybe a boat, maybe a throne, maybe a dove like the Holy Spirit. Maybe one of the carpenter's tools, or maybe an apron. There's a lot of things they could have picked to be a symbol of Christianity rather than an electric chair or a hangman noose, and that's what the cross was. And we know the Bible says the Greeks, the Romans, those outside the tradition of Scripture, they looked at the cross and said, boy, that's the King of Kings, that's the Messiah, that's the Son of God on the cross. And they thought that was the silliest, most foolish thing they'd ever heard. This is God. How silly can you get? The Jews thought the cross was a stumbling block, because the Old Testament said, anyone who dies on a cross is cursed. The curse of God is on them. So how in the world could that be the Messiah on the cross? And so we go to the hill called Mount Calvary, discover it's not a hill. We discover there are three crosses and three men are dying on those crosses. But yet from that position in history comes a powerful word to you and to me. We know the one cross we call the little thief, we call the cross of rejection. Then we know the other cross, the one on the right hand of Jesus, traditionally, it is called the cross of repentance. And then Jesus on that center cross, we call the cross of redemption. And maybe we think of Calvary taking place on a hill because of what Jesus said. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And therefore, it seems to be indicating that he would be lifted up above everything and above everybody. Therefore, you would assume it's on a hill or a mountain. But we know that he was lifted up on the earth. That's the crucifixion. That's Calvary. We know he was lifted up out of the earth. That is the resurrection. And he was lifted up from the earth, and that was the ascension. So that is the phrase, if I be lifted up. So we go to Calvary. By the way, only Luke uses the name Calvary. Others refer to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And so we talk to these three that are up there and see if they have a message for us. The first thief on the cross of rejection, his message, what we learn from there is how easy it is to miss Jesus. We learn how easy it is to make a mistake. We think about God, we think about Christ. And we've all made the same mistake that that thief who rejected him made. What was his mistake? His mistake was that he thought he could negotiate with Almighty God. He thought he could negotiate with Jesus. Isn't that something? We make that same mistake. And what did he say? He said, Jesus, if you are the Christ, the Son of God, save yourself, and by the way, save me. And what was non-negotiable with him? Take me down this cross. I'm dying on this cross. You're dying on the cross. The non-negotiable was save me from this cross. And by the way, that which is non-negotiable is always God. The thing in your life that is non-negotiable, that is what God is. And this thief on the cross, he had a felt need. I understand that. Anybody have trouble understanding that? I'm on a cross. I'm dying. My felt need. Listen, if you are God in flesh, as you claim to be, I'll make a deal with you. Let's negotiate. You get me down. You get us down. And guess what? I'll believe in you. That's logical, isn't it? That's just sensible. And therefore, he's trying to negotiate with the Almighty. And God is the non-negotiable. He was trying to use a means to an end. I understand this thief. We've all worked like that. I have a felt need. Now, they could have said about Jesus, well, Jesus is the one who performed the miracles. The thief on the cross said, that's fine, but I'm dying on the cross in a little while. Give me all the... And Jesus is the one who taught thousands. Oh, that's good and fine. Jesus is the one who claimed to be the Son of God. Well, if he is, why don't he get down and let me get down? That's okay. You could say, well, Jesus will give you a purpose in life. I don't care about a purpose in life. I'm dying on this cross. That's my problem. Get me down, and then I'll believe that you are God in flesh. Isn't that something? You ever tried to negotiate with God? God, if you will do this, I will do this. If you will get me out of here, I will stop doing this. You know, isn't that how we do? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you why this is the easiest mistake to make. If we have a felt need, Don't let him die. Don't let her get hurt. Help me with this job. Get me out of this health challenge. This relationship is breaking me down. God, if you will get me through whatever it is, my felt need, then I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to understand you are God. Let me tell you something. Listen carefully. This is a mistake that Steve made. His mistake was that he thought he knew more than God knew. He thought he had more wisdom than God has. And we do the same thing. People say, I want you to pray for my mother, but don't pray for God's will to be done. Pray for her to be healed. Let me ask you something. A God who is powerful enough, and that's what they believed, to save himself and to save those who'd already been nailed to the cross, don't you think that God who is that powerful has more wisdom than you have or than I have? Do you think that's possible? Do you think that's not logical? Don't you think he knows better than you know and better than I know? If we had a God who was as slow as we are, we'd see a gigantic God with a peanut head. A God they believe could bring them down from the cross, could save himself from the cross, would be a God who would have more wisdom and knowledge than they would have. That's the mistake we make. God, I know what is best. Surely you know what this is best. The baby can't die. This prophecy, I mean, we think we know what is best. Let me tell you, they didn't know what was going on that hill. Notice all of those there on Calvary, they were saying the same thing. Save yourself. Three times. Save yourself. If you're God, save yourself. Prove that you're God. And if Jesus had come down from the cross, save the two thieves, they would all say, this is the Son of God. That's man's wisdom. But let me tell you a true statement that was spoken from the cross by the religious leader. Did you get what they said? They said, he, Jesus, saved others. Now he is on the cross. He can't save himself. Did you know they were exactly right? They were exactly right. Now he could have called 10,000 angels. And physically being saved and brought down for the cross. But you see, he couldn't save himself because had he saved himself, there would not be a death and there would not be Easter. You see, big things were going on. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They didn't comprehend it. Jesus' death, there was a divine, eternal transaction. And they just said, boy, if you'll come down, we'll believe. You see, he couldn't have come down. He couldn't have saved himself because he would have missed saving all the world. God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom, and so many times we miss that. That's the reason we can pray with great authority and assurance, Lord, I don't get it, I don't understand it, but thy will be done, because he's doing in his sovereignty supernatural eternal business. Easiest mistake to make, but the hardest confession to make, was also made by the second thief. He said what? What was his confession? He said, well, I'm getting what I deserve. This man on the center cross, he lived a perfect life. He's not getting what he deserved. And he rebuked the thief who rejected Jesus, said, do you not fear God? In other words, do you not reverence God? This man is perfect. He's being executed. We are getting what we deserve. By the way, that's the hardest confession to make. I mean, I'm not getting what I deserve. Look how terrible this person is, and look what they're getting, and look what I'm getting. This thing doesn't seem fair. But that is a universal law in almost every religion on the face of the earth. Did you know that? The law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, That's what you reap. You sow beans, you don't get strawberries. Not going too fast for anybody, am I? You sow evil, you get evil. You sow good, you get good. That's a universal law. We read in a lot of the Middle Eastern faiths that you have, Hinduism. You say, what is karma? What is karma? Oh, they have karma. Basically, karma is many things, but karma primarily is this law, a natural law in the world. Good equals good, evil equals evil. It's a law of sowing and reaping. That's a big part of karma in Hinduism. In Islam, it's the same thing in the Quran. You sow and you reap. In Judaism, it's the same thing to the Jews, the Old Testament. That what you sow, that what you also reap. And therefore, the thief on the middle cross, he got it. He said, look, we're getting what we deserve. But look at how he responded. He looked at Jesus and he said, remember me when you come in your kingdom.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been given manifested. Can you imagine a baseball player who batted 1,000 throughout his career, meaning that every time he came to the plate, he got a hit? I read that a player with the highest single season average ever was named Hugh Duffy in 1896, and his average was just 440. There are two ways to get into God's Hall of Fame to get to heaven. The first is to have a perfect life with no errors, batting 1,000 in every area of life. But the Bible clearly states that no individual can do that. So God provided another way. There is a way to heaven and to receiving the righteousness of God. Well, how do we get right with God? We put our full weight down on the Lord Jesus Christ. God Himself provides the righteousness we need. So when God looks upon us, He doesn't see someone who batted 260 or even 440. He sees Jesus, our perfect pinch hitter, our substitute. That is grace. And that is fabulous news.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stay grounded in that truth all year long with the one-year chronological Bible. There's no better way to prepare for what God wants to do in and through you this year than to spend time each day in His Word. The one-year chronological Bible will help you do just that as you grow deeper in your understanding of God's Word through 365 daily Bible readings that guide you through Scripture in chronological order. So call now to request the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us next week as Dr. Young shares more proven truth on the crucifixion and your newfound friend, death. That's Monday on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And have a great weekend.
Not what I want, but what I needed. I sing how great and mighty is the King. Just as long as He considers me high above every other thing, even His glory. Broken like a record, spinning round and round like a hurricane. I pour out water, then I disappear. Appearing when I fear enough or need a touch from you, I sing Hosanna once again. destinies. Empty hallelujahs to the King. When my heart is loving idols, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He had no form, he had no majesty. How could he have the audacity to ask me to give him my tomorrow? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. I see.